Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. I want to greet everyone who's listening by radio in Bungoma and Bungoma County in Western Kenya. I bring you greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Voice of Hope today is here to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. And I want to greet everyone that's listening to me by the internet, that the Word of God is not limited to a place. The Word of God goes everywhere and accomplishes that which God has purposed to do. God sends His Word and heals people. God sends His Word and saves people and delivers people. The Word of God has great power to change our lives. That's why I believe very strongly that we need to get into the Word in these trying times and difficult times, because it's in the Word of God that we receive strength and help. Jesus told us to build our life on the rock, Jesus Christ, and on the Word of Jesus Christ. So it's very important in these days when everything is shaking that we know the Word of God and we live according to the Word of God. If you ever miss my Voice of Hope radio program, you can always go to my website, thevoiceofhopetoday.org, voiceofhopetoday.org, and you can listen to all my radio programs on my website. But, you know, I've been praying this week about all the challenges we are facing. And everybody in the world is facing challenges, not just in one country, but all over the world. There is an attack of the enemy to destroy the people of God and to destroy the work of God around the world. But it's not a time to be afraid. It's a time to stand up in the power of God and of the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe we live in the greatest times of the history of the church, because God is going to show forth His glory and power like He never has before to bring in the end time harvest. But you know, we need to prepare ourselves for God to use us to show forth His glory and power. And we serve a God who loves to do the impossible, a God of the impossible. The things that are possible are things that we can do. Things we cannot do, God does for us, because He is the God of the impossible. And you know, Jesus loved to do the impossible. Jesus went around healing lame people, healing blind people, deaf people, healing all kinds of diseases and sicknesses. He delivered people from demons. He raised people from the dead. He multiplied food and fed 5,000 people, 5 fish and 2 loaves of bread. He walked on water. He stilled storms. Jesus did all kinds of miracles because He is Jesus of the impossible. He's God of the impossible. And it says God is the same always. And so God today is the God of the impossible, and He wants to do the impossible for us. You know, when we live in difficult times, we need to learn to turn to God. Not turn to the world for help, not turn to man to help, but to turn to God for help during these difficult and challenging times we're in. Because God is able, because He is the God of the impossible. And I want to begin to look today by a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And if you have a piece of paper, you can write these scriptures down and look at them later. But 1 Corinthians 2, 9 says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, even the deep things of God." So Paul says here, eye hasn't seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. And so for those of us who love God, God has great things in store for us. Things we can't even imagine, things we have never seen, God has for us. See, oftentimes we get looking at the world and all the problems of the world, and we don't look to God. See, that what we see is what we get. If you constantly look at the world and talk about the things of the world, then all you're going to think about is things of the world, and you're going to believe all the things of the world. But when you focus on God, God will begin to reveal to you things that you can't even, haven't even imagined. He says, eye has not seen nor ear, nor has it entered the heart of the man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us by His Holy Spirit. So in this difficult time that we live in, we need to come into a revelation of the greatness of God. You know, sometimes we are so overwhelmed by our problems that we can't see God, that our problems are greater than God. But we need to focus on a God who does the impossible. We need to focus on the greatness of God. See, we experience miracles. We experience the supernatural. We experience God doing the impossible when we focus on Him. And when we look to Him, He'll reveal things to us that we can't even think of. See, God wants to reveal things. He's a God of revelation. He revealed Himself to the children of Israel in the wilderness. Did the impossible. He delivered them out of the land of Egypt through many signs and wonders and miracles. He opened the Red Sea and they parted through. They came into the wilderness and He gave them manna from heaven every day to eat. He provided water from the rock. He did all kinds of miracles in the wilderness because He is a God of the impossible. But He wanted to reveal Himself to His people in the wilderness. Came down Mount Sinai to reveal Himself so they would get to know Him and know His greatness and His power to prepare them to go into the promised land. So the first step to coming into the supernatural or God doing the impossible for us is we need a revelation of God and we need a revelation of what God wants to do for us. So if you're in the midst of the problem today, I want you to focus on God, focus on Jesus Christ, and ask Him, what do you want to do in this situation? See, oftentimes we try to get help from other people, and there's nothing wrong with getting help from other people, but our help comes from the Lord. And so we need to say, God, how do you want me to respond to this situation? What do you want me to do in this situation? And when we do, God will speak to us. God reveals something to us that we have not known, a key to success, a key to getting out of our situation. And so today I want to look at, and Hebrews is now faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we need to hear God. We come to know, hear God by knowing the word of God. As you know the word of God, you will begin to hear God. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we don't believe for what we see. We believe for what we don't see. We believe for what God has revealed to us. And so today I want to talk about how we can come into this revelation knowledge of God and how we can come into knowing God and coming into the miracles that He has for us during this time that we live in. And so we need to position ourselves for what God wants to do. And I want to look at the example of Peter and see how Peter positioned himself for miracles and for God to do the impossible in his life. And we see the first step for Peter is to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. You first of all need to become a believer in Jesus Christ. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to repent of your sin and ask Jesus to come into your life, forgive you of your sin, and you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. So the first step to coming into God's provision, God's blessing, the supernatural that God wants to do today and see His miracles in your life is to give your life to Jesus Christ, to accept Him as your Savior. But there's a second thing you need to do, and that is you need to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, it says, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So Jesus here was talking to believers. These are people who believed in Jesus Christ. But He said to them that if they are going to be His disciple, He said to the Jews who believe in Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciple indeed. So there are many people that believe in Jesus, but they're not disciples of Jesus. In other words, they aren't following Jesus. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe He died for their sins. They believe He rose again. They believe many things about Jesus, but they aren't following Jesus. See, Peter His first step in the coming to know Jesus Christ, to know the one who does the impossible, he became a disciple of Christ. And Jesus called Peter to follow him. And Peter left everything to follow Jesus. And he became one of the 12 people who were close to Jesus because he gave up everything to follow Jesus. And when he followed Jesus, he saw Jesus do the supernatural, saw Jesus heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. He experienced God's power. He saw God's power because he became a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the first step in the coming into the supernatural and the power of God is to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Doesn't mean you have to leave your home and family and all those things, but you make Jesus most important in your life. Remember, I start every program by saying, are you having a good week walking with the Lord? See, when you're a disciple of Christ, you walk with Jesus every day. You invite Jesus into your family. You invite Jesus into your business. You invite Jesus into your shamba. You invite whatever you're doing every day, you invite Jesus into whatever you're doing. Jesus becomes first in your life. Not money, not position, not other things. Jesus becomes first. You're beginning to ask Jesus for help in everything you do. You begin to ask Jesus for wisdom. Jesus, do work in your life. You're beginning to look at the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So being a disciple of Jesus means to abide in the word. See, look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. Look at the Gospels and see what Jesus did. Look at the book of Acts and see what the disciples did. Learn from those things. How to walk with Jesus, how to walk in his power, how to walk in his will. See, when you're walking into a situation, you need to ask Jesus, help me to know what to do in this situation. You need to ask the Holy Spirit, what should I do in this situation? How should I answer this situation? See, we encounter many problems in our life, but Jesus said that he has overcome those problems. He says, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. So we come into this relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus begins to show us things, give us wisdom, and give us ideas on how to do business, how to do things, how to overcome problems that we face in our life. See, Jesus is calling us from becoming a believer in Christ to becoming a disciple of Christ. And we do that by walking in a daily relationship with him. It's not just going to church, but it's a daily relationship with Jesus Christ. See, Jesus wants to show forth his glory and power in your life, but you need to walk with him, invite him into every part of your life. So Peter went from being a believer to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. He began to follow Jesus and walk with Jesus everywhere that he went. He learned from the example of Jesus, got wisdom from Jesus, and that equipped him and enabled him to become the greatest apostle in the early church because of becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. But there's another step that God, that Jesus calls us into, past being a believer and disciple, and that is to become a friend of Jesus. Peter didn't just become a disciple of Jesus, he became a friend of Jesus. See, in John chapter 15, verse 12 through 17, John 15, 12 through 17, Jesus told disciples, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, they lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. So Jesus is calling disciples to be his friend. He says, no longer do I call you servants, so a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I have heard from the Father I have made known to you. So we need to move from being a disciple to being a friend of Jesus. That's a close relationship. You know, the Bible says Moses talked to God as a man talks to his friend. Abraham, the father of faith, was called a friend of God. The reason he had great faith and great favor is because he was a friend of God. See, Jesus is calling us into a friendship relationship, not just a servant relationship. See, there are many people that serve God, but they're not friends of God. God is calling us into a friendship relationship with him. See, he wants to show us things that we can't even imagine. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for who? For those who love him. But God wants to reveal those things to us by his Holy Spirit. And so Jesus says, as a friend, I'm going to reveal things to you that I don't reveal to anybody else. See, revelation comes out of a close relationship with Jesus Christ. See, a servant serves somebody for reward. There are many people that serve God for reward. They want some financial help, or they want you to promote them or give them a position or clap for them. But they serve God for a reward. And when they don't get the reward, they quit serving God. And I have people that call me all the time. They want me to participate in their ministry. And what they want me to do is help them financially. And I say, no, I'm not ready to help you with financially. We need to develop a friendship relationship where we know each other, understand each other. And so I begin to spend time with them. And because they don't get any financial help from me, they quit following me. They quit having a relationship with me because I'm not, because they want something from me. See, a friend does things for people because he's your friend. He doesn't do it because he wants payment or reward or position. He does it because he's your friend. See, God doesn't want us to serve him for what we get. God wants us to serve him because we're his friend. We love to serve God because he's our friend. We have a close relationship with him. And that relationship comes through the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus is my best friend. And Jesus said, I'm going to send a helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever. And he's going to help you with everything. See, I talk to the Holy Spirit all the time. I ask the help, the Holy Spirit to help me all the time. I ask him to give me wisdom, to give me strength, to anoint me with power. And you see, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our friend. Jesus is our friend. He's our helper. And I serve Jesus not because of what I gain. I serve Jesus because he's my friend. I love Jesus, and he's my friend, and I want to do things that please him. Jesus says, if we do what he commands, we will bear much fruit. And our fruit will remain. See, God's calling us into a deeper relationship with him. See, in these trying times, we can't just be far away from God in the world. God is calling us to a deeper relationship with him, where we're just not a believer, but we become a disciple. We give everything to follow him, and we become his friends. We talk to Jesus about everything. You know, if you have a good friend, you talk with your good friend every day. Because he's your friend. You like to do things together with him. And so we need to talk with God every day. He's our good friend. And he wants to talk with us. Not just us talking and praying to him, but us listening to him. He has wisdom and knowledge. He wants to reveal things to us by his word and by his spirit. So Peter went, he believed in Jesus, then became a disciple of Jesus, then became a friend of Jesus Christ. And I want to look at a miracle in Peter's life where he did the impossible, and that's in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 through 33. In this story, Jesus had just finished feeding the 5,000 people, and he told the disciples to get in a boat and go to the other side of the lake. And so they did what Jesus told them to do. They got in a boat and headed to the other side of the lake. Jesus went up onto a mountain, and he was praying on the mountain. And it says that the third watch at midnight, when it was dark, there was a big storm on the lake. And the disciples in the boat were in this big storm, and the boat water was getting in the water and thought they were going to sink. And it says Jesus saw them struggling in the middle of the storm. Jesus on the mountain saw them struggling in their storm. And you know, today you may be in a storm. You may be in a very difficult situation. You may be in a financial storm. You may be in a health storm. You may be in some kind of other deep problem today. And you're in this storm. You don't understand why this storm is happening. But I want to tell you today that Jesus sees you in the middle of your storm. See, Peter was in the middle of the storm in the boat. And he wasn't in the middle of the storm because of sin. He wasn't in the middle of the storm because of disobedience. See, if you're in a storm today because of sin and disobedience, you need to confess to God, hey, God, I made a mistake. I did something wrong. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. You need to confess your sin. Say, God, I sinned. The Bible says we need to repent of our sin. Repent means to turn away from our sin. Some people, they confess their sin, but they go right back into it. No, if we're going to walk in this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, we need to get free from the power of sin. We need to confess our sins so Jesus washes them away with our sin. We need to repent from our sin, turn away from our sin, and walk this life with Jesus Christ. See, you can't walk in the world and walk in sin and walk with Christ. If you're going to be a friend of Christ, you can't be a friend of the world too. So sometimes storms come in life because we have sinned or we've done something wrong. And we need to confess and repent of those things. And the Holy Spirit reveals those things to us if we do. Because the Holy Spirit comes and convicts us of sin, confronts us for our sin, so that we can deal our sin. He doesn't condemn us. He wants to take care of our sin so we can walk in the victory that he has for us. But Peter was not in sin. He was doing exactly what God told him to do. He had gotten in the boat with his other disciples, men who had given up everything to follow Jesus, and they were in a storm. They were doing everything right. They were disciples of Jesus. They were friends of Jesus, but they were in the middle of a storm. And because they're disciples and friends of Jesus, Jesus saw them in the storm. He not only saw them in the storm, but he came walking in the storm on top of the water to them. So I want to tell you today, if you're in the middle of a storm and you've confessed your sins, repented, gotten your life right with God, Jesus sees you in your storm, and Jesus is coming to you in your storm. He's coming to help you and deliver you in the middle of your storm today. So Jesus comes toward them in the storm, and they're in the boat. And Peter sees Jesus, and the first thing Peter says, Jesus, can I come to you? Now, to come to Jesus, he has to get out of the boat and walk on water, something that's impossible for someone to do. But you see, Peter is a friend of Jesus. Peter is so in love with Jesus that for a minute he forgets about the storm. He sees the one he loves. He sees his best friend, Jesus Christ. And he says, Jesus, can I come to you? See, he didn't ask for deliverance from the storm. He didn't ask Jesus to meet his need. And he said, Jesus, can I come to you? See, our desire is to pursue after Jesus. See, when you come after Jesus, Jesus will calm your storm. Jesus will meet your need. When you say, Jesus, I want you. There's a lot of people that want Jesus for what he can do for them. No, if we're friends of Jesus, we just want Jesus because of our love for him. So Peter says to Jesus, can I come to you? And Peter and Jesus, come on, Peter. So Peter does the impossible. By faith, he steps out of the boat into the storm on the water, something no one can do. And by faith, he begins to walk on the water in the middle of the storm. The storm has not gone away. The storm is still there. The wind is blowing. The waves are all over the place. The waves are filling the boat. The waves are covering Peter. But Peter is walking in the storm on the water as he focuses on Jesus Christ. And you see, when you are in the middle of a storm, you need to focus on Jesus Christ. Don't wait for the storm to go away. Don't wait for the problem to go away. Right now, begin to focus on Jesus Christ. Get your relationship right with Jesus Christ. Jesus, say, I love you today. I am coming after you, Jesus. You are more important than everything else. You're the most important person in my life. You're more important than position and money and everything else. Lord Jesus, I need you and I want you today. And Jesus may ask you to take a step of faith and step out and do something you can't do before. You know, there have been times I've had financial issues, and there was money I needed. But instead of asking for Jesus for money, I asked Jesus for wisdom. Jesus, what should I do? And there are times Jesus told me to give money to other people. When I had very little money, and he asked me to give to other people, but when I gave to other people in obedience, and I gave to the church in obedience, then Jesus blessed me. I didn't give to get a blessing. I gave because Jesus asked me to, and I love Jesus, so I do what he asked me to do. And so Peter, by faith, began to walk on water. But we know that after a few minutes, he looked at the storm, and when he looked at the storm, he started to go down in the water, and he cried, "Help, help," and Jesus helped put him back in the boat again. But you see, Peter did the impossible. Peter experienced a miracle. It says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to you by his Holy Spirit." See, whatever storm you find yourself in today, Jesus is greater than that storm. Jesus is greater than that problem. Jesus wants to do the miraculous. God loves to do the impossible. God loves to do miracles. He does to do miracles anywhere in the world. Nothing limits God. Nothing is impossible for God. Everything is possible for him. But our focus should not be on our problem. Our desire should not be for things of the world. Our desire is to follow Jesus Christ, to give our lives to Jesus Christ, to pursue Jesus Christ, to want Jesus more than anything else, to move from being just a believer in Jesus to being a disciple of Jesus Christ, to move from being a disciple of Jesus to being a friend of Jesus Christ, where Jesus is the most important person in our life. We serve him every day. We walk with him every day just because we love him. And we have that love relationship with God. Even when you're a friend of Jesus, sometimes you can get in a storm. And when you're in the middle of that storm, because Jesus is your friend, he is praying for you. He will come to you in your storm, and he invites you to get out of your boat. Your boat is your place of safety and security. Your boat is to step out in faith and do something Jesus asks you to do so that he can do a miracle in your life. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for every person that's listening to the Voice of Hope today. Lord God, we live in challenging times. But Lord, you are more than victorious. You are a God of the impossible. You want to do the impossible for every person. Lord, if there's someone listening to my Voice of Hope today, Lord God, that is not a Christian, they have not accepted you as your Savior, they've not been born again, Lord Jesus, today I pray that they will cry out to you, Lord God, and turn away from their sin and repent from their sin, give their lives to you, Lord Jesus, and you'll come into their life and make them a child of God. Lord, I pray for believers today, Lord God, who believe in Jesus, but they are still walking in the world, still following the world, Lord God, still seeking things in the world. Lord God, I pray today that they'll move from being a believer to a disciple of Jesus Christ. Lord, help them to make a commitment today. I am going to follow you, Jesus, no matter what happens, no matter what goes on, I am going to follow you, Jesus. I'm going to walk with you every day. And Lord, I pray they'll go from being a disciple to being a friend of yours, Lord Jesus, where they'll walk with you, talk with you every day. They will do your will every day. They will seek your face every day. And Lord God, they will serve you not for what they can gain or what they can get, but they'll serve you because they love you and because they're your friend. Lord, I pray they'll get in your word, Lord God, get a hunger for your word, Lord Jesus, and they'll grow in faith in you, grow in listening to your voice of your spirit, and you reveal things to them in the midst of the challenges they're going through, Lord God. Lord, I believe today you want to show forth your glory and your power through your friends, Lord God, that are walking in this world today, that are positioning themselves to show forth your glory and power. Lord God, I thank you for every person listening to the Voice of Hope today. Empower them by your spirit. Strengthen them by your might, Lord God. Show yourself mighty on their behalf, Lord God. Heal those who are sick. Deliver those who are oppressed and discouraged, Lord God. Do a financial miracle for those who need a miracle for you from today, Lord God. But Lord, I just pray above everything else that every person listening to the Voice of Hope will come to know you in a greater way and become your friend. Lord, thank you because of Jesus Christ. We can be your friend, and you invite us into that relationship. Lord, I pray your blessings on every person today. In Jesus' name, amen. I encourage you to listen to Voice of Hope every Sunday. Invite your friends to listen to Voice of Hope. We live in great times where God's showing forth His glory and His power, and He wants to do it in you too, and in your life and in your family. Have a blessed week, and Lord willing, I'll see you next Sunday as we continue our journey with Jesus on the Voice of Hope. God bless. Bye-bye.